Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
No! A little late on that, USC Chris, but hey, the effect still works. No! It is VJ Husky.
We'll do it live!
The light-skinned Shaq, the vanilla Charles Barkley, what he calls himself, some of this stuff. What did I get it right? Is it, what is it? You had a whole soliloquy last time.
What up, C? What's good? What's good,
the
CD?
The champion of chocolate or something?
Nah. First of all, ain't nothing chocolate over here. Actually, it's VJ Vernon Husky, the big vanilla funny, the big vanilla Shaq, the blue-eyed Barkley, creamy okay. Kobe, VH top talker, Mr. Never Shut Up, and I got a new one. I got a new one for you today.
Creamy Kobe sounded new.
Yeah, nah, that's the same one I said last time. Yeah, Creamy Kobe, like the vanilla Mamba, but that's too easy.
How you Kobe? I get Barkley, you a big dude.
Yeah.
I get Shaq, you a big dude. Yeah. Kobe, where that?
Because I got that Mamba mentality, man. Like, you know, like, look at my career, bro. You've met me from, you know, years and years back. I'm determined. I got that Mamba mentality. Nothing's going to stop me. Nobody's in, anybody in my way? Nothing stopping me. I got that mama mentality. But I got a new one for you, though, CB. You're going to like this one.
Okay. Yeah, let me hear it.
I'm the Big Vanilla Lawry's.
Big Vanilla Lawry's?
Yes. Because
yeah,
that's seasoning salt.
That one.
Well, it's seasoning salt, right?
Right.
And once you
now
sprinkle.
That you say so, yeah.
Yeah, Lawry's is seasoning salt. And once you sprinkle a little seasoning salt on everything, it don't need nothing else. Once you sprinkle a little VJ on it. Just put it on the grill, put it on the skillet, or put it on the oven, baby. We ready. Let's go.
Man, look. I'm digging the creamy Kobe and the blue-eyed Barkley and the vanilla Shaq. I don't know about that. See, the big vanilla Lawry's, I think that's what you said.
Yeah.
That's too much explaining.
No, it's not.
You
don't know what
Lawry's much.
Chris, you don't know what Lawry's is.
If you write it, I might know. I might, but if you just say it, I'm like, no, the sauce isn't coming to my mind. The seasoning not coming to my mind.
Well, you didn't use seasoning salt in your house growing up. Y'all didn't use
yeah,
Lawry's.
But
Lawry's.
I mean, it don't. There's all types of seasoning salt.
Nah, well, I mean, if you get Kroger, what you use? Kroger? Use the generic joint? Use the Kroger?
I don't know what we use, but I mean, whatever.
Well,
but anyway, yeah. Welcome, brother. We're excited to have you here, and we're gonna have a great show. So keep it locked. For the next 3 hours, it is the Odd Couple here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM Channel 83, however you may be listening. Marcus Johnson, 5-time all-star player for the Milwaukee Bucks in the 70s and 80s, will join us, obviously, to talk Milwaukee Bucks and their first championship in 50 years at the bottom of the hour. We've got the Odd Couple crew. Super producer Rob G in full effect. USC Chris is on the ones and the twos. And on the updates, the loquacious Brian Finley. All right, let's get to it. VJ Husky. Last night, I think it's hard to overstate just how good Giannis Antetokounmpo was.
Yeah.
I mean, the boy was bad. On the night when he got really very little help from his teammates. Now, Drew Holiday D'd up Devin Booker. Chris Middleton hit a couple big jumpers in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Bobby Portis is the only Buck other than Giannis to score at least his season or playoff average or more.
Mm-hmm.
The only one. So they did all right. But this was just about as much of a one-man show as you could ever have in an NBA game.
Yeah.
You know, because we talk about, we give Jordan all the credit, we give LeBron all the credit, and, you know, Shaq or Kobe, all that. But really, it's always a team effort. You always need contributions from your teammates. But this here, 51 points, game high, obviously. 14 rebounds, game high. 5 blocked shots, game high. And some type of psycho mumbo jumbo on DeAndre Ayton, who was shook from the opening tip. I mean, this was all Giannis all the time. And I'm going to say it, and I've looked him up. And I'm going, we're going to talk about closeout games because he played the best game of his life in the biggest game of his life.
Okay.
And there's nothing harder than a closeout game in the NBA Finals. So what I want to throw out to you, VJ, is that I believe, and I'm going to go from the merger onward. So 1977 onward. You know, Bob Pettit had a 50-19 game back in 1958. Bill Russell, coming back from injury, only played like 20 minutes that game. But still, you know, Bill Russell had some 20-30 games, a 30-40 game, and, you know, some big games in game sevens. But so I'm going to go post-merger. I got to be honest, man. Shaq had some great ones. LeBron's had 3 triple-doubles in closeout games. MJ, obviously. The 45-pointer against Utah.
Pick one.
Right. Magic, as a rookie, 42-15-7.
Yep.
But, VJ, to me, this was the best closeout individual performance in NBA Finals history post-merger. Your thoughts?
I am inclined to agree with everything you said, except for I kind of try to look a little deeper when I looked at some of these stats earlier and was doing research and prepping for the show just to see who got help. Like, some numbers have been put up. Now, you've narrowed it down to closeout games, and that's fine because I thought AI's game one in 01 against the Lakers, his 48, but he took 41 shots. But if you look at what the rest of the team did that night, nobody did nothing until Eric Snow hit the runner from the free throw line on the left side in overtime to seal the game. Nobody did nothing else. So being that you narrowed it down to closeout games.
But hold on. You going to sit here and tell me that AI game was better than what Giannis did last night?
I didn't say it was better. I didn't say it was better. But if you want to start the discussion, then – Like I said, who got the help last night? I'm watching Portis play. Like,
that's,
oh my
the
god!
Only help he got.
Yeah, I'm watching him hit shots last night, and I started calling him on the show. I was like, "That's buckets, bam! Oh, that's buckets, bam!" Like, you could tell he was in a zone. So it's up there. I don't know, like MJ, the flu game, the closeout game in Game 6 in Utah. Those are tough to beat because he got nothing from nobody else. People forget that 98 finals.
He got nothing.
Scotty averaged 15 points. He was tied with Kukoc. Him and Kukoc
in that game, I think he had 8.
8 points, yeah.
Kukoc had 15,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, but for the finals, though, he only averaged 15 points.
Right.
Jordan basically really carried that team, even with great players, to a championship. I don't think there's another great player on the Bucks, and that would just be my only knock that you trying to put the Giannis game last night over Jordan. I give it as high as 1B, but that closeout Jordan game, the pose, and it's not even the pose. We learned in The Last Dance, he had been short on like his previous 7 jumpers. He held it to kind of put just like the finishing touches on it because he had been short. But we all thought it was this pose to say goodbye and this is it. And Jordan's like, nah, I held it to make sure I hit it. It wasn't a pose. You know, so just all of that, when you write it all down and analyze it, I give Giannis as high as 1B. It's hard for me to overtake a closeout game. Jordan, Utah, against 2 Hall of Famers like that, against Stockton, against Malone, and Utah gave them all they wanted, man. And Jordan really had to carry that team for 6 finals games, late in his career, too, at a later age.
That's what I'm saying. We're talking about this one game. I mean, we could actually debate this performance of the whole series. But here's why I give Giannis the edge. And everything you said about Jordan was true. He scored 53% of his team's points. They won 87 to what was it, 86.
Yeah, 87, 86.
And he had 45 points.
Yep.
That's crazy. So I'm with you there. Here's why I give Giannis the edge. Giannis had, and yes, he's bigger, but still, Giannis had 14 rebounds. Mike had one. Giannis had two assists, which isn't exactly dropping dimes, but Mike had one.
Mike also had Dennis Rodman, so he didn't have to rebound.
Well, that game, Rodman had eight rebounds.
Yeah, okay, but he still has Rodman. You think Rodman's going to get more than eight, right?
But he didn't.
He got eight. Okay, all right.
Well, I would think Chris Middleton going to get more than 17 points, too. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, like, and again, Mike is the GOAT to me. But I'm just saying, when I look across the board, Mike shot 15 for 35. That's 43%. Giannis, of course, was 16 for 25.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, he was much more efficient. And, excuse me, on a game, on the biggest stage, he went out there, a very poor free throw shooter, and hit 17 of 19.
Thank you, Chris Paul's post-game five comments.
That may be. You know, something motivated him.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, Giannis just did more overall. And I would even, and I've said this, and I'm going to stick by this. I have long said that Magic Johnson's game six in 1980 was the best individual performance in NBA history. And I'm going to stick by that. And the reason I give it that, even though I'll say Giannis had the best game on the closeout, was because of everything around the game. Magic being a rookie, a 20-year-old rookie. His teammate Kareem, who was injured, was the MVP of the league that year. He's going against Dr. J, one of his idols, an iconic Philadelphia 76ers team. So all of that, can you imagine if a 20-year-old rookie went 42, 15 boards, 7 assists, and I think 4 steals? Playing jumping center in the NBA Finals. I mean, we would be crowning him. It would be ridiculous, the hype around him. So I think with all the stage, with everything that was going on around that game, I give Magic the edge in that. But the reason I say Giannis's performance last night could even top that is just from a basketball sense. Forget the age and, you know, the playing Dr. J and all that, is that Magic, to your point, got help. Jamal Wilkes, who is a Hall of Famer, scored 37 points and had 10 rebounds.
And 10 boards, exactly.
To help Magic.
Exactly,
right?
42 minutes.
Right. Yeah. So Magic was great, but he also had great play elsewhere, whereas Giannis, and to your point, Jordan, did not have that.
Yeah, not only that, if just to even go back to that Magic point, the whole, if could a 20-year-old do it today? No, because Magic is legendary. And I'm glad that this actually has come up, because maybe this now gets us back into judging like top 10 or GOATs or whatever people want to call it properly. Because for some reason, Magic keeps getting knocked down. But we forget,
really?
He was come on.
I don't think so.
CB, you're in this industry. I'm in this. And we hear this stuff, man. Are you kidding me? He gets knocked down. I've seen Magic get knocked down.
How low is he knocked down? Magic is a consensus best point guard ever.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen a top five that don't include Magic Johnson.
Oh, no, I've seen plenty of them.
I mean, for all, really?
No, yes, of course. I've seen plenty of them.
I have yet.
I've seen plenty of them. But my point is that, no, to answer your first question, no, a 20-year-old couldn't do it. There's not a 20-year-old on the planet that could come in and do that right now, because there's not a 20-year-old on the planet that's Magic Johnson. He's legendary. That's number one. Number two, you already covered it. I was going to touch on it. Wilkes game 37 to 10 in 42 minutes. He also has Kareem on that team, and I know Kareem is injured and Kareem is out. That Laker team is still a very, very, very good basketball team. Back to the point with Giannis, I still have questions about Middleton. This one series or a few shots here and there in these playoffs do not clear for me. I still feel how I feel about him.
That raises Giannis's stock.
I understand. I understand that. But Giannis also got help in different ways that Jordan did not get help in his closeout.
Bobby Portis? Do you give Bobby Portis that much love?
Who, me?
I mean, come on. Yeah.
Bobby like, Portis? Dog. First of all.
He was fine,
okay,
but,
so
I mean,
the answer your question. No, to answer your question, yes.
16 points.
Yes, I'm giving Bobby Portis that much love because nobody, you don't expect that from Bobby Portis last night. And even when the team.
Jordan got 15 from Tony Kukoc.
But you expect that from Tony Kukoc. Are you kidding me? You
Tony
expect 15.
Come on, man.
Yes, are you serious, EB? You don't expect 15 from Kukoc.
I mean, you gonna sit here act like Bobby Portis was some type of star?
I'm not
night?
Acting like anything. I'm just telling you what I think and what it is. Ain't no act like. I'm telling you that Bobby, you do not get that. The intensity, he injected that team with something other than Giannis last night. It wasn't just his shots. It was his play. It was his attitude. It was his persona. It was his bravado. It was all of that he bought to that game last night. Don't sell that man short like that.
No,
are you kidding
fine,
me?
That's fine, but that does not take anything away from Giannis. He only played 23 minutes.
I didn't say it took it. In 23 minutes and to affect the game that much to help them win, that elevates Portis even more. It doesn't diminish Giannis. I don't do that.
Five Bucks players had better plus minuses than Portis.
Man, come on. Don't start with the plus minus. That's
good.
Not math class. Don't start with the Portis minus.
Portis was good, but you, come on, man. Don't oversell it.
No, I'm not overselling
Chris Middleton
it.
Chris Middleton had 17 points, and we say he struggled. Just because Portis you don't expect that from Portis, don't overstate the performance. And he was good.
I'm overstating.
Don't get me wrong, I'm with you.
I'm overstating his performance. Do you, Chris? You
yeah,
basketball? Are you kidding me?
You taking that to take away from Giannis?
No, but I didn't say. Are you listening to me? Man? I didn't say that.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I never try to diminish somebody by propping somebody else up and tearing another guy down. I'm just elevating him, but I'm still keeping Giannis where Giannis. I gave him 1B closeout games all time. I just can't put him over to Jordan game 6 in Utah. I'm not doing it.
All right. Well,
but I gave him 1B.
Let's see what the listeners are doing. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. Your turn to weigh in. Did Giannis have the greatest closeout performance in NBA Finals history post-merger? Your turn to weigh in as we continue the conversation with you. It is the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, VJ Husky in for Rob Parker.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you are tuned into the Odd Couple on a Worship Wednesday. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my man, VJ Husky. He's sitting in for Rob Parker, and we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Your turn to weigh in, 877-99 on Fox. Did Giannis Antetokounmpo give us the greatest closeout game in NBA Finals history last night post-merger? All right, let's see what you got.
Yeah, we're going to the callers right now, man. We got Mark coming in first from Sacramento. Mark, what's going on? You're live right now, Fox Sports Radio. Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, VJ Husky. Did Giannis have the greatest closeout game in finals history?
What's going on, gentlemen?
What up, brother?
Hey, I think it's 1 and 1A. I think it's still Magic, even though Magic had help from Jamal. You're right, Chris. But because of Magic's age and stepping in there and doing that, man, he was still just a kid. And that's something that you just don't see a kid be able to do. And so I still have to put Magic because of his age. But what Giannis did, man, he controlled the game. He did everything possible he can do. And like you said, Chris, including making 17 of 19 free throws. That was Yeah, man.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you're right. And Magic, I like I said, I got to give Magic still the best individual performance just because of the stage and everything. Obviously, guys have had better, you know, more than 42 points and 15 rebounds. But on that stage against the iconic Dr. J, as a rookie, I mean, like you said, VJ, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you don't get that often, we'll probably never see that again. So, all right, moving on, Ben. Oh man, from one of my favorite states, man. My grandmama lives in North Carolina. Ben from North Carolina, you're live right now, Fox Sports Radio, The Odd Couple. Giannis all time closeout game.
Hey, gentlemen, how y'all doing tonight?
We are good, brother. How are you?
Blessed, brother. Thank you.
Good. Hey, my grandmamas, both of them live here in North Carolina too, so I'm glad to know that we got a little community going here, Ryan.
But all right, what you got, man?
As far as Giannis' closeout game, I mean, people like the Michael Jordan thing, but can I say something real quick? As far as the Michael Jordan game goes, it's great, and it really is. But Ryan touched on something real quick, and I don't even know if he noticed he did. He said, when you think of the last dance. Now, Jordan's shot could be 1A and 1A or with Giannis' game and everything like that, and the closeout at Denver. But the last dance provided this sense of romanticism of Jordan that was long forgotten. Something that people just don't remember. And when you get that once again, you're like, oh my gosh, that really was as awesome as I remember. And then, you know, so I think that Giannis's game will have a similar effect where one day looking down, we're going to be like, this man scored 50 points. And Bobby Portis was sensational. He really was.
Thank you.
But I mean, 50 compared to 16. Bobby Portis, by the way, Ryan, I will agree with you on this. He mentally broke the Suns. There's video in Game 5 of him saying things to Devin Booker you can't say on the radio. And he was just getting under his skin. Didn't matter if Booker made shots or not. Those guys, like Giannis missing free throws or not, went and attacked and attacked and attacked and never abandoned defense and knew what they wanted.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, good call.
I don't know why he was calling you Ryan.
I know. You know what? I get Ryan, Brian, I get
Ryan
DJ,
Hollis. I think he's mistaking you for Ryan
CJ.
Hollis.
CJ. Well, he's a vanilla brother. Yesterday. He kind of vanilla. So he
y'all
he,
vanilla, he, both of y'all.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. He could be. You vanilla too, CB.
Yeah, I'm vanilla.
You vanilla too. We let you in. We kicked out Drake to let you in. I let you in.
Oh, let me in.
Yeah,
let
yeah, yeah.
In.
We voted. Well, you got to win the vote. Yeah, you won the vote last week. We did it privately. I was going to surprise you on the radio. Let's move on, man. Keith from the NO down in the dirty in New Orleans. Talk to us, Keith. Was this Giannis's? Was this the greatest closeout game ever in the finals?
Definitely. And I'm gonna use the reasons why I support Giannis's game. Over George, because like everyone says why George the GOAT, because he was never threatened, you know, he was never threatened in these finals, you know, it was always, he had won five championships before that moment. So, you know, it was virtuoso for George to do that. But Giannis, I mean, the first time there, built it from scratch, worked on his body, overcame the free throws that issue that he's had all season. And for him to have that type of performance, that's the best I've ever seen somebody doing a closeout game.
Yeah, and that's the point. I mean, we're trying to keep it strictly on the court, but it's true. I mean, Jordan was seasoned, as we all know. I mean, that was his actually last playoff game. So he was very seasoned and calm and all that. Giannis, this was his first NBA Finals. So, and at 26 years old, and he's racking up quite the resume. Doug Gottlieb wants to call in at some point. He's our Fox Sports Radio colleague. He's saying he's going with Jordan's 45 against the Utah Jazz, as is VJ. All right, we got Marcus Johnson joining us in a moment, but first.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Yes, our next guest was a five-time NBA All-Star with the Milwaukee Bucks. Now the Bally Sports Wisconsin Bucks TV analyst, friend of the show, and one of our favorite guests, Marcus Johnson. I'm sure very happy, Marcus Johnson. Congratulations, man.
All you naysayers, all you unbelievers, bow down. Fear the deer. Chris, you know I'm elated, man. It's just, it's the culmination of a lot of stuff in terms of management ownership visions about the Deer District and 60,000 people.
Man, that was crazy.
I was on stage getting them all pumped up with our guy Justin Garcia, and it was like my son Mariah, who used to star on this BET show called Baldwin Hills. But he was like, "Man, Dad, this is like Woodstock. I feel like I'm at Woodstock." You know, it was just, and he's only 30, so he has no idea what Woodstock really means. But he's seen the pictures. But no, man, it was phenomenal to be a part of, and I actually got a little overwhelmed with emotion with about less than a minute left when it was the realization that this organization, this team, Giannis, was going to be an NBA champion. So, man, it was just a great, great thrill to be a part of.
Nah, man, it was deserved, well-deserved. And I said this yesterday. I mean, even though Milwaukee hadn't won a championship in 50 years, it still was a very good organization. And you guys had some, I mean, your runs and, you know, with City Moncrief and all that. And then, you know, they had Ray Allen and Vin Baker at a point and Gary Payton. Like, they had some good teams, Glenn Big Dog Robinson, but never able to get over the hump. And it was good to see, especially for a small market situation. But we were just talking about this, and VJ Husky's in for Rob Parker. I'm saying that Giannis's performance last night, I do say it was the greatest closeout performance in NBA Finals history. Over Jordan's 45 points against Utah, which obviously was great. Magic's, I mean, him being a rookie in 1980, you got to give him the edge with that. But if you take all of, I'm just saying, strictly the game he played, and Magic did get help from Jamal Wilkes, who had 37 and 11. I just think Giannis, you know, Chris didn't have his typical game. Drew was off offensively, great defensively, though. And then Giannis, what he did defensively and on the backboards. I think it was the greatest closeout game, at least since the merger in 77. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I can't argue with that, man. I cannot argue. To drop a 50, I was sitting in front of a couple of brothers at Five Serve, and they were like, when he had like 33, 34, they're like, he may get 40. This is in the third quarter. I was like, man, he's about to get 50. I said, he may get 50. Later for 40, we had a whole quarter and a half left to play. But you talked about it, Chris. I mean, just the context of everything involved. You know what I mean? So Magic's context, just a rookie jumping center for Kareem, the baby Skyhook. I mean, that was all great, 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 great narrative, all that. But Giannis, the abject failure that he has been in the playoffs the last 2 years, and that's not overstating things. Toronto shut him down. Miami shut him down. He struggled. He got hurt. I think tweaked an ankle, but still was not doing anything. It was a struggle, and that's coming off of MVP caliber years. This year, for him to embrace the moment when Chris and Drew were combined 3-for-11 from the 3-point line, could get diddly in that first half. The way he just shouldered the burden of the city, you know what I mean, of the state. He just shouldered that bad boy, and he was like Atlas with the weight of the world on his shoulders. But he was coming. And then for this guy who is prone to shoot 2-3 air balls through a free throw line, you know, to go 17 for 19. You know, I was joking with another radio show earlier that, I mean, tomorrow, if they played, he might go 6-for-20. You know, but just for that moment, he was so locked in, the fadeaway jumpers. He blocked Devin Booker's jump shot. How many times Devin Booker is a master at changing his release point on his jump shot? Nobody blocked his jump shot. And Giannis got up there and just swatted that thing away. And he looked like a man amongst boys out there at times, the way he was playing. So for me, I agree, Chris. I mean, I've got to rank it up. If it's not the greatest, he's up there top five all time, which is something to be said.
Yep.
Marcus Johnson, VJ Vernon Husky, the Big Vanilla Funny here. Listen, first of all, congratulations to yourself being a former Buck into the city of Milwaukee for their championship. It was actually beautiful to watch. My question to you is, you talked about Giannis's emotion and how you got emotional a little bit as the clock was ticking down. I myself love sports so much. This is like a passion. I love it like I love God, like I love my kids and my wife. And I got a little emotional once he sat on the bench and he put the hat on, and just because you see that story, and that's just not what we see in the NBA anymore. Then you go to the post game, Have you ever heard a Finals MVP and a champion speak the way this man spoke last night? Was just phenomenal, and even throwing some jabs about the free throws where, you know, thank you, Chris Paul, for your undermining petty little comment after game five, because the man just went out and was like, okay, brother. And that's what greatness does, right? You hear something, it's like, okay, I'll show you. Just talk to me about how you felt watching just the close of it, and then his post game. You ever hear a superstar talk like that, man, where it's about everything else in life and nothing about himself?
Yeah, and again, that's a tribute to his mom and his dad and the phenomenal job they did raising he and his brothers. He's selling trinkets on the streets of Athens. I've talked about this over and over again on this show. 3-4 o'clock in the morning, trying to help the family, you know, make ends meet. I mean, just that story within itself is just a great American success story. Even though you know it's $250 million of success, which is something a whole lot of people can't relate to. But the meager beginnings and the hard work and the discipline, and those are the things that carried over and make up Giannis Antetokounmpo as a man, right? I remember 23-year-old Giannis, New Year's Day. I asked him what his New Year's resolution was, and he told me, he looked me straight down and said it with all seriousness, to be the best version of myself. You know, and I told I told Malika Andrews, who was covering our team, I said, I'm trying to find out, you know, how to get over this hangover from the Park Avenue disco, you know, and at 22-23, and he's talking about being the best. He's talking about being the best version of himself.
Yeah.
And so, and then even in the press, he was funny. The humor, you know, talking about the free throws, and I'm just joking, and not really. He was throwing those little things, you know, throwing those asides out there, and I can say this with all the genuine sincerity that I can muster. I've been around him 6 years. And he's one of the just best athletes in terms of humility. Look, on a team playing, for example, they play this game called Bure. It's this card game. So they have two games. There's the high rollers, you know, that spend a whole thousands and thousands of dollars. And there's a game that I play with Giannis where we're betting like $5, $10. You know, this is a $200 million man.
Yeah.
And,
and he doesn't play with the high rollers. He plays with myself, security guards, the NASA's, you know, a couple other guys who are way below that income level. But he's just playing for fun. You know, he's not trying to, you know what I mean? So he's just got a different approach to life. The fact that he re-signed, re-up with Milwaukee, spurned the other big market cities that where he could have made a whole, whatever, money, endorsements, and lifestyle would have been, you know, that's who he is. And it's just so good for the city and the final side. I mean, the ratings for this final series have been off the charts. So the narratives in this finals, driven by Giannis's story, I thought was something that this country kind of glommed onto and really needed. You know, we need a hero at this moment, coming out of the pandemic and coming out of the social justice issues from all of last summer, burned buildings and closed businesses. You know, we need the refreshing candor of someone like Giannis to be at the forefront and be the face of the NBA right now.
Thank you.
No doubt. Marks, we got about a minute left for this one, but one thing I liked is I heard Giannis, I heard Drew, and a few other players say, we want more. You know, like, this is just the first. And what do you think of their chances of going on and becoming, you know, a team that wins multiple championships?
Well, you know, it's hard to repeat, and the way this season was truncated and a bunch of games squished into a small amount of time, quick turnaround. It's July now, so I'm not sure, you know, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Devin Booker, I don't know how they're going to play an Olympic game on Sunday based on everything they've given in this series, but I'm sure they will. But the opportunity is there, and the foundation is there. And, you know, management is committed to getting a championship. They got that. Now they're going to be committed to sustaining this high level of excellence that this team has established. So, and as long as you got Giannis, Chris, and Drew, you got a shot. You know what I mean? You can fill in the other pieces, but as long as you got Giannis, Chris, and Drew, you've got three of a big three that I think is going to be contenders, if not champions, for at least the next 5 years on a consistent basis.
All right, that's our man Marcus Johnson. Thank you, brother, and again, congratulations. Enjoy it.
Congratulations, sir.
Will do, man. Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate
all right,
you. Thank you.
Yes, see you. All right, it is the Odd Couple. Chris and VJ is in for Rob Parker. Keep it locked. locked. Keep it locked on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, it is the iCouple. Chris and VJ Husky is in for Rob Parker on a Worship Wednesday. We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, VJ, I'm going to throw a few numbers at you. And I think I know your answers based on the way you just dis and dismissed Chris Middleton earlier. But nonetheless, I'm going to give you a few numbers and then I want your answer to this question.
All right.
Devin Booker, NBA Finals, gave us 28 points a game, 4 assists, 3.5 boards, 45.5% shooting. Chris Middleton gave us 24 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds, 45% shooting. Which of those two players do you think elevated themselves or elevated their stature more during these finals?
And I love this question. When I got this earlier, man, it's so easy for me and it's going to be different from everybody else. Neither one of them. Neither one of them elevated themselves, because before this playoff run even started, I have Booker as a great player. I don't think Booker's a superstar. I think he's another great player who can get buckets in a league where you can't guard and you can't really touch anybody. And a lot of guys can go get buckets. That's not diminishing his talent. He is real. But he's a great player to me, not a superstar. Middleton didn't do anything, in my opinion, to raise. I mean, he had a good finals, but just throughout the playoffs, too many missing games. If he gives Giannis any help in game two, this series is over in five. If he gives Giannis any help in game two. This series doesn't even come to last night. We may not even get the 50-point game out of Giannis last night. We'll just have to settle for the 41 and the 42-point games that he gave us. So I just think that they're still kind of where they are. In my view, Middleton's a 17-5 guy career, 46% from the field,
yeah,
39.
But not the last few years.
A lot of
that because he started slow in his career.
I get it. 1 year in Detroit, second round pick in Detroit, I think number 30. I'm a Pistons fan, so I know about heart. Like number 36 overall, ninth pick in the second round. So I out of South Carolina, I get all of that. But I still look at him and I go, we're giving Giannis all these props, right? We're saying Giannis is so I can't really elevate Middleton. I still think he's still a B option, B minus player. I don't think he's an A. I don't think he's a two option. I would like to see Drew be the two option there.
He's
but Drew,
not a second option?
No.
You're right about that, because at the end of the game, he's their first option.
No, well, at the end of the game, he's their first option because he can hit a jumper. And great call out of the timeout last night to get him on the pick and get him to the right side of the floor and the turn and fade buckets. That was huge. Great shot. But you're supposed to hit that shot, bro.
Come on, man.
This is where I'm standing
ain't none of that. You're supposed to hit that shot.
That's
a big-time shot.
It is a big-time. And he's supposed to hit that shot he's the number one option.
Almost every shot taken last night. You're supposed to hit that shot.
If you are supposed to be the number one option as you just called him in the clutch, then yes, I can say you're supposed to hit that elbow wing shot.
Most guys don't hit clutch shots. Listen,
he's not clutch. Listen, you're not going to sell me on Chris Middleton. No.
Man,
no.
I guess you just watched game six.
No, I didn't watch game six. I've been watching the whole playoffs.
All right, my turn. I disagree wholeheartedly with you because I think both of them elevated themselves.
Really?
Devin Booker was viewed as a great talent and a star, kind of, but people ripped him because he couldn't win. And now, not only did they get to the playoffs, but they got to the finals, and he delivered 28 points a game. Now, yeah, he had his bad moments, but everybody but the super-duper stars has up-and-down moments. And Chris Middleton, I think, has elevated himself to the point where he's essentially going to be an all-star for the next few years. He's been an on-again, off-again all-star in the East. You know, he's made it 2 years. Some years he don't make it. I think based on what he did in these playoffs, people are going to start to look at him as, well, we're going to have to put him in there. Somebody else might have to sit, but we got to get Chris Middleton in there. And yes, he's inconsistent. But again, I'm not saying he's a superstar. He's a star. And he's a little lower, maybe a lower level star. But a star. But you got to give him props because, I mean, 40 points in game 4, 32 points in the closeout game against Atlanta. 38 points in game three against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. 38 points in game six, obviously a must win against Brooklyn. I mean, the dude, he delivered, man. And he is a second guy. If your first guy is as great as Giannis, I'm with you. I'm not trying to say he's, you know, Kobe Bryant or somebody like that. But I'm just saying, I do think you got to give him some respect. Because he's their closer.
Listen, he's the weatherman. I call him the weatherman. Everybody likes him, and everybody's going to pay attention to him. But more times than not, he's inconsistent. He's not going to get –
It ain't no more times than not he don't deliver. I'd say more times than not he does deliver.
Inconsistent.
Who isn't other than the superstars?
Well, then
keep it locked.